Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been studying the Bible principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap." The word sow simply means to plant a seed, and the word reap means to gather in a harvest from that planting. We see throughout Scripture this biblical principle of sowing and reaping in operation, and we are told throughout the Word of God that God has put into motion this principle that Genesis 8:22 calls seed time and harvest. Whatever you sow in your life, you will reap it. Everywhere we go and everything we do literally is seed sown into our life. We have been studying six types of seeds that impact our harvest in life. Last week we talked about thoughts as seed, words as seed, action as seed. We've also covered the Word of God as seed, and yesterday we studied prayer as seed. If you missed any of those radio broadcasts, go to our website, www.hiddenwithchrist.com, and listen to those previous programs there. Today we're going to talk about finances as seed in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about the issue of finances or giving. And in this passage, we find the well-known verse that says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will also reap generously." And in this particular passage, he is referring specifically to the issue of money. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we find these words, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." This scripture reveals to us that God requires of his people that we honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all of our increase. So when you receive increase in your life, whether it's a paycheck or dividend or interest money coming to you, or any type of increase that brings finances or wealth in some form to you, the Lord asks of you to honor him with your possessions. God has put this into motion so that we trust God. It's an issue of trust, any giving that you do in accordance with the Word of God, and it puts into motion a receiving process as well. It says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty." God has put into motion an economy in the Spirit where we give, and God makes sure that we get a return on our giving. Luke 6:38, Jesus' words were very clear in the same way. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." So this issue of giving of finances is something that was established by the Lord himself, not by some preacher on television or your pastor who may bring the issue of finances to the church's attention, but this was established by the Lord himself. In Malachi chapter 3, we find probably the most familiar verse with regard to finances, giving, and tithing in the church. It says this, "Bring all the tithes," and this is the Amplified translation, "bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And this scripture is a specific reference that deals with bringing the tithes or the tenth of your income into, in this case, it was the temple, or we would say the house of God. If we are obedient to this word of God and do so, our tithes, the tenth of our income, as well as offerings, which is a gift given that's above the tithe, we will have more blessings than we can contain. And the Lord himself promises to rebuke the devourer. That's the thief and the robber, Satan, who would like to steal from you. And God will rebuke him from the fruit of your life if you'll be obedient to his word. Some years ago, a missionary who was serving for many years in a small town in the country of Chile had a small congregation of about 80 adults. But this missionary was concerned that the Christians in that particular area did not seem able to financially support their own national pastor. He was a missionary, so he was paid by the missionary group that had sent him there. But this particular congregation did not give enough or have enough finances to support a pastor of their own. These people were very poor, and the church's offerings amounted to no more than $6 a month. One day, the missionary brought the problem to the Lord during a time of definite prayer. A few weeks later, he stopped to visit a middle-aged couple who were new converts who had begun the habit of reading their Bibles every day. Manuel asked the missionary, "What does the word tithe mean? We ran into that in our reading, but we don't understand what it means." The missionary really didn't want to answer the question, for he knew that Manuel and his wife were unemployed and on the verge of destitution. They were somehow managing to feed themselves and their 25 Rhode Island hen chickens on the income from the eggs that were laid each day. Nevertheless, they insisted he explain the concept of tithing to them. So the missionary turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where Paul urged the believers to lay aside each week a portion of their income to the Lord. The following Sunday, Manuel handed the missionary an envelope, smiling, saying, "This is our tithe." And inside were a few bills amounting to about 19 cents. The next Sunday afternoon, the couple flagged down the missionary as he rode his bicycle past their house. They had some exciting news. The Tuesday morning, after they had given their tithe, there wasn't a bite for breakfast or any money in the house. Their first impulse was to take the few pesos that they had accumulated in their tithe box, but on second thought, they said, "No, that's God's money. We will go without breakfast this morning." They had nothing to do except to go into the hen house and tend to the chickens. Much to their surprise, there were eggs in the nests that were usually empty at that hour. Later in the day, a little man came along with a pushcart wanting fertilizer. They cleaned out their hen house, and the manure that they sold to this man brought a good price. After buying groceries, there was enough money left over for the wife to purchase a pair of shoes. So she rode the bus 12 kilometers around the bay into a larger town. There she bumped into a nephew she had not seen in 5 years, who to her utter surprise owned a shoe store. After she found the pair of shoes she wanted, he wrapped them for her, handed her the package with these words, "Oh no, aunt, I cannot take your money. These shoes are a gift from me." The following week, Manuel got a job on a project that would last for 2 years, and soon the little couple was tithing on a much larger salary than that initial 19-cent tithe that they had given. Word got around their church, and others began to experiment with giving. Soon, this little church's income began to rise dramatically, and they were able to pay their own rent and utility bills and eventually support a national pastor who was working with the Indians. And in a short time, they were able to call and finance a pastor of their own. This missionary and his wife were able to move to a new location and start a new work as that little church grew in numbers, size, property, and faith. And they had started out with that very first tithe of 19 cents. I share this story with you to bring to your attention the fact that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful who promised. And if you have been struggling with the issue of giving or tithing and feeling that you could not do it, take heart that God is always faithful to his word. And when he says in Malachi chapter 3, "Test me or try me in this and see if I won't pour out a blessing to you if you will tithe and give." This is God's economy and his way of doing things. He wants to bless you. Proverbs 11 verses 24 and 25 says, "One man gives freely and yet grows richer. Another man withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A generous man will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." The Lord wants you to be increasing in your financial situation so that you can be a blessing to many people and to the kingdom of God. But it begins with being faithful in sowing the seed of finances that have been put into your care. I pray that you'll consider this word of the Lord. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com, or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.